today, here in our studio at Radio Tacoma in downtown Tacoma, located at 950 Broadway in the Urban Workspaces, we are with Carrie Griffiths, who is one of the founding members of Radio Tacoma. And today we're going to talk to Carrie about both her history with Radio Tacoma and also the ways that she became involved with all the social justice activism that she has done over the years. So, Carrie, can you start out just by talking to us about how you became involved with social justice issues?
I first became active with social justice issues in the early 80s. President Reagan had been elected, and he was drawing a line against communism in Central America. Personally, I didn't even know where Central America was. And what had happened was in 79, the Sandinistas had overthrown the government of Nicaragua. It was a bad government. And a civil war was raging in El Salvador. At the time, the government was a bad government. And tremendous amount of people were being killed. Archbishop Romero had been murdered. Four American churchwomen had been murdered. I remember watching the news reports about the four American churchwomen and could not figure out why anybody would murder aid workers who are churchwomen. Couldn't understand that. And there was a group, an activist group, in Tacoma called Six Sense, which stood for Sixth Congressional District, which is Tacoma, for sensible solutions to nuclear arms, the arms race. Reagan at the time was talking about winning a war against Russia using nuclear weapons, which we all know is madness. And people around the world had organized and stood up against that because a nuclear war would be madness. And this group formed a branch to look at what was going on in Central America. Many of them were from St. Leo's Catholic Church. And refugees from El Salvador were absolutely flooding into the United States. And St. Leo's Catholic Church, led by Bill Bixel, brought in a refugee family from El Salvador. And people got to know them. They got to know their stories. And they realized what we were doing in Central America was wrong. And they traveled to Central America. They learned about it. And when they got back, they started posting public events and house parties to educate other people about them. And I ended up at one of the house parties and had never heard, personally, I didn't even know where Central America was, and had never heard about our policies there. And I got active in Sixth Sense. I got active in St. Leo's Church. It was a vertical learning curve, and got to know the refugee family, was horrified by the story of the violence they had gone through, and ended up traveling to Central America twice in the 80s and learning about what was going on. And I was an activist throughout the 80s. And then that led me after the wars ended, because the president of Costa Rica, Oscar Arias, led a peace process to end these wars. I went back to college and studied political science and Latin American studies, and remained an activist on and off for the rest of my life.
That is so cool. Where did you go to school?
I went to Green River Community College. I went to Highline Community College. I was student government officer at Highline Community College. I was graduation speaker for my graduation, student graduation speaker. And I was active on campus. And then went off to Evergreen State College.
I thought that's where you were.
Yeah. I had originally discovered Olympia through a program where we brought a girl who had injuries from the war from Central America to get medical attention here and also raise awareness about Central America. And she stayed in Olympia. And she was on Glenn Anderson's show. He's a longtime activist that just passed away. He had a local TV show on activism. And when I was down in Olympia, I was amazed at how aware politically people were down there on activist issues. It's amazing. But Sixth Sense in Tacoma was a wonderful, wonderful organization filled with wonderful people. And years later, when I had been active, but Mike McCormick had a show on Saturday mornings and an all show lineup of progressive interviews. And I worked Saturday mornings, and he was my go-to guy to listen to hours worth of information, write down all the notes because it was fascinating. And he had a show where he brought guests on. And one of the guests started out the show saying, "You have to start a radio station." And nowhere in my mind was the idea of starting a radio station. I mean, nowhere in my mind. Knew nothing about radio. And half an hour later, he was explaining that the airwaves are being opened up. It's the first and last time the airwaves are going to be opened up. It's going to be opened up for low power radio. And if you're going to do it, you've got to do it now. And half an hour later, I was like, we have to start a radio station. And having no idea how to do it, I went off to a meeting. And at the end of the meeting in Tacoma, because I looked up on the internet, there were no available stations in Olympia, but there were available stations in Tacoma. So I went to a Tacoma meeting. At the end of the meeting, I announced, anybody want to start a radio station? And Louisa Beal was there. And she was one of the first people to come up and say, yes, I want to start a radio station. That's she is a brave woman.
Well, we have Louisa Beal, my sister, by the way, I'm Pam Beal, with us today. Louisa, you want to say hello to Carrie and talk about what you heard that day when she asked if you wanted to start a radio station?
Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
It's so good to talk with you. I remember that day very clearly. This was for the People for Peace, Justice, and Healing. And I had found them after the 2004 election, where I was so bummed out that Bush was reelected. So anyway, that was the state of my mind at that point. And when you stood up and said, anyone want to start a radio station? Well, I was in a manic phase, where when I'm in a manic phase, I can conquer the world. And so, bam, my hand shot up and I said, you bet. And I had my own agenda, and I've been kind of following that. But, you know, it's such a good outlet for this kind of information. And I am so glad. I'd known you before. You'd come to some of the meetings and whatnot. But this is where we started going down that road and gathering people with skills and knowledge and ideas and, you know, the whole nine yards. And here we are.
Yeah, and this was another vertical learning curve, right?
Absolutely.
Well, none of us knew anything about what we were doing.
I just want to stop here and tell listeners, listen to this person talking. She has done things that she didn't even know she wanted to do, and that she certainly didn't think she could do, but she just did. So I think it's just a real inspiration to know that we can do all sorts of things, even though we think we can't do them. So I'm just so glad to hear this story, Carrie.
And actually, I would give all credit to the rest of the people who worked on Radio Tacoma, because we all have certain skills, but we don't have it all. And so many people in Radio Tacoma carried me when I when I didn't have the ability to go forward. And so it is the other people of Radio Tacoma that I credit for carrying this forward. They are amazing people, and they have done amazing work. And I'm not joking that none of us knew what we were doing.
Yes, and I know the FCC application, Louisa, maybe you could speak to that, was onerous, let's just say.
Yeah, not as onerous as trying to get a tower up.
Okay.
But that's a whole different story. I'm not going there.
That tower took us years, and we're trying to do this on no budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And we can't be a commercial station. We can't bring in money the way commercial stations bring in money, and everybody expected us to do that. And we couldn't fund it. Nobody's rich. You know, we couldn't have found it. The fact that Radio Tacoma got off the ground and is going is an amazing story.
It is an amazing story. But I want to go back to that FCC application just for a minute, because I want people to understand how much work it was to fill out an application. I mean, think about the FAFSA. It used to be really, I took a year off of college just to fill out the FAFSA because my parents didn't know what they were doing.
The FAFSA?
That's the financial aid form for students, student aid.
See, I never had any financial aid.
Well, there you go. Anyway, so I know the FCC application was very difficult. How did you get through it, Louisa?
Oh, well, by the skin of our teeth. We hired an engineer from Portland to do this.
Was that Gray?
Yeah, Gray Heretic.
Gray Heretic. You hear that?
And we never met him. Sometimes he would answer our emails. But, you know, he did his job. And when he had submitted the application to the FCC, it came back denied.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And it was denied because, you know, the bubble of where your transmitter goes, okay? And then they look at the bubble where other transmitters are going. They said there was a conflict. And so Gray, and this was worth all of the money that we scraped together to pay him, because he knew the guy at the FCC. And he emailed him directly and he said, if you look at the map, you'll realize that the crossover of these bubbles is over water. Mm-hmm. It was. And so, he saved our bacon there.
Yeah, that must have been Voice of Vashon, because they have the same frequency that we do.
Yes, I remember this. The other thing about the application is that you had to fill out certain parts of the boxes and you had to meet certain criteria, and you had to meet so many points. And I think you could get up to 5 points, and we met 4 of those points. The 5th point, which we didn't meet, was we weren't a Native American group. And they told you you're competing against other applications that are coming in at the same time, and you really wanted 5 out of 5 so that your application would be up there. And we had no idea if anybody else was going to compete for the frequency that we asked for. So we were very stressed that a whole lot of people were applying. Turns out nobody applied. And so we were the number one group, and we did have 4 out of 4 points. Yeah. And the Vashon group, which had been around for a long time on the internet and was applying for the same frequency, and really was so much farther ahead of us. They had a studio and volunteers and everything. They came down and met with us, and they said, okay, if we move our tower just a little bit north and you move your tower just a little bit south, we can stay on the same number.
Oh, and that's great.
It was great. And then they took us up to Vashon. They showed us their studio. They gave us some advice and everything. Plus, they also came up with an app for their radio station. And they went around Vashon Island signing people up on the app. So they didn't especially the people in the area that would mix with us, which is the radio signals would mess with each other so that people could get their station off their phone or the computer or things like that.
Yeah.
But yes, mainly where we were mixing was in the middle of the water, so there was nobody. Mm-hmm. There was nobody there.
Well, no humans there.
No humans there.
I'm sure the orca were picking us up.
Yeah.
But it took us another about 4 or 5 years to be able to get an antenna up. That was so hard.
Yeah, I want to look at that story too, just for a minute, because I believe it was August of 2016. And we had to have the tower up by, was it the November of 2016?
17.
2017. Okay, so it was August of 2017. And we had to have the tower up by November of 2017, and we had no tower. We had no money. What was going to happen here? Well, Louisa, what would you call Louisa? Dogged. She's a veterinarian. My dogged sister, Louisa, went to all these meetings with permission people and listened to them and asked them questions.
Oh, that's a story.
And finally she asked, well, could we put it in a tree?
I should be able to tell that story.
Please tell that story.
Because there's background to that story.
Yeah.
So I was looking to get a permit for a tower. And the Friends Meeting House had said, okay, yeah, so, you know, you can put a tower on our property. And because they're one of the highest hills in Tacoma. And so I looked around and I got some information on what tower to get. And I was in touch with an engineer who said, okay, this is what you need. And then I went to the city of Tacoma to get a permit for the tower. And that was, it was mind crushing.
And soul crushing.
Yeah, I felt like I had no soul after that. But so it was like a 10-page thing, and they gave me an example of some corporation that was going to put a tower up and all the things. And there were drawings that you had to have. You had to have this geological survey, basically, to find out, you know, what the soil was like, if there was going to be any slippage. You had to have, I mean, and we were getting down to the wire. And so I went to a meeting, actually at Browns Point Elementary, with the city, who said they were going to answer questions about permits. And of course, this was permits for building, because it was such a building boom over at Browns Point. And so I, after their little intro and PowerPoint and everything, they broke out into groups. And so I went up to the group about, you know, permits. And I said, well, I need help because I have questions about the process, because it says that you don't need the lights on the tower if you have camouflage. Or there was some question about camouflaging the tower. And the person said, well, I don't know. And she went, hey, Mike, come over here. And so then there were two of them, and I was asking these questions and da-da-da, and says, well, I don't know. Hey, Jim, come over here. It turned out there were like five people there trying to figure out how I could get this permit done. And so that's when I said, well, what if we just put it in a tree? And they went, I don't know. You know, what do you think, Jim? What do you think? You know? And so they just kind of shrugged their shoulder and said, well, if nobody complains. And so it's been, almost 6 years? I don't know. Do the math. 7 years.
Yeah, almost 7 years we've had our antenna in a tree.
And so no complaints, and don't even think about complaining or I'm after you with my dog.
Yes, but, you know, what gave you that idea to even ask that? Could you put it in a tree? Do you remember? Did it just come from the universe?
It was actually from one of the engineers that we were talking to about a tower and where to place it and whatnot. And he was the one that looked up at a tree and said, that's a pretty tall tree.
Okay.
And so, you know, then I asked him, well, how do you do it? And he says, well, I don't know.
Yeah, and then we got another guy who is part of the radio cabal, let's call it, named Petri Dish. They all have these aliases. Like, if you haven't picked up on it, Gray Heretic, Petri Dish, Pete Tree Dish, or Pete Tridish, whatever. And he came, I remember that day, and helped us put the antenna in the tree.
Yeah, we got an arborist to climb the tree, and then Petri Dish put it all together into a thing, and the antenna on a pulley, so we were able to haul it up the tree to the arborist. And he had installed one other antenna in a tree for a radiologist who wanted to receive or transmit pictures of x-rays. So he had a little experience.
Oh, wow.
Probably more than any of the rest of us.
Yes, and it's there today. It's been through several storms. We've had it checked. It has been great for us. I just think I just want to say that this is really a basic value of Radio Tacoma, is the power of possibility, this possibility thinking that you, Carrie, and you, Louisa, have in, well, a lot of it. You have a lot of that thinking, and I think this is the kind of thinking that we need. I love to talk about the issues revolving around climate change, and I teach at TCC, and I teach that topic in my English class. And that's what I teach, possibility thinking. We can do this. Yeah. We just have to think creatively, and we have to turn to the arts and literature. Because really, remember Jules Verne, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea? That was impossible. All these things were impossible. Star Trek, flip phones. That's impossible. Yeah. And I'm really working on the issue of transporting because my husband hates to drive I-5. So. Yes, Carrie.
And I can't emphasize enough, a group of older women facing all this technology stuff that we had no idea about. We've had some amazing people come in over the years, and they have really moved this project forward. We had a wonderful guy named Morgan who passed away before COVID, but he came in with, he'd studied radio in college, and he was facing some health issues, and he was at home listening and found us while he was recovering. And he said, "I'm going to recover and join Radio Tacoma." And he came in and he was wonderful. And he just moved us forward. Sadly, he died at a young age before COVID. And we all still miss him today. But we've had amazing people come forward and move this project forward.
We have. And one of them, I think, came to the same meet and greet that Morgan had come to. And Malachi's sitting right here, and she's driving this whole thing. She is our IT person. She's my go-to for any IT, because I don't understand a lot of this technology. I just got an iPhone. Someone gave it to me, and it's like I still don't know how to use it. And I tell people that if it doesn't bleed, I don't know what to do with it.
Okay. Yes, we are a small but very talented group. Definitely. And we'd, by the way, like you to join us if you're listening out there.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes. So just so people know, if you're interested in working with Radio Tacoma, you can just email us at info@radiotacoma.org. You can go to our website, radiotacoma.org, and see what we're doing. You can look at the archive of programs we have. Because we are very committed to bringing information to our local community, particularly on issues that don't get much attention, let's just say, in media. And, you know, for me, again, it's climate change, sustainability, environmental issue, bugs in particular. That's my particular niche.
Pam, I like what you said about Radio Tacoma. She said it's the university of the airwaves.
Yeah.
And we are a community station, so we like to focus on the local issues and local people and people of interest and fun and
local musicians,
independent local music, and
Yeah. And just so you listeners know, we currently are only airing primarily local independent musicians because we think they don't get the airtime that they deserve. And they're wonderful. I'm just going to call a few of them out because I listen to them. The Niebels, Steve and Christy Niebel, have given us so much wonderful music. And Mo Abbott, Ida Bay, Gina Bellavo, Josh North. Victoria Fregoso. Yes, so we air all these wonderful musicians. And just so you know, we have 4 hours of music on Sunday afternoons, I think from, 2 to 6, mm-hmm. that we just play their music. We just air we air their music all week long, but we just love the creativity and the incredible talent of our local musicians. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I just want to thank you again, Carrie, for being the spark plug for all of this.
It was an amazing journey. Yeah. It really was an amazing journey. It was definitely 2 steps forward, 1 step back the whole time. And as I said, the power of working with other people is amazing because we all don't have it. Some people can pull it forward on their own, but some of us sometimes need a group of people with a variety of talents, especially when we're up with something so huge about how to get a tower, because everybody treated us like a commercial station, and they would go, sure, we'll rent to you, it will be $10,000 a year, you know, and it's like, but we have $1,000 in the bank, and it took us years to get that, you know. We were not a commercial station, and people had a hard time understanding that we were actually just going to be volunteer based, yeah. and with a very low budget.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, you know, the people that volunteered for Radio Tacoma, and they all pulled us forward.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to our sister station, KTQA, and Sam and Becky. How much they have helped us
Absolutely.
Through the years.
Yeah, Sam's the radio guy.
He's still doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're at their frequency is 95.3 FM. Yeah, and they've just been great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been terrific.
Okay, well, I think that's going to conclude us for today. That's a little bit of history of Radio Tacoma. And we just want you all to know that we're here working hard for you. And we would love to hear your voice, a musical voice, a talk show would be wonderful. We're always looking for more shows. We do have a progressive perspective. So just so you know, we don't deny that or hide it or anything like that. But again, you can go on our website, take a look at our own programs. So we air Cannabis Corner, Climate Talk, Sound Poetry, Wine Pair. I mean, not everything's about political stuff. Lots of Ugly Creativity is a great one. My sister's Ain't Misbehaving program about animal behavior, and her Power to the People show, where she interviews local political people, local government people about what they're doing.
And how you can do that too.
And how you can do that too. Yes, we need to become more active in our local government. That is one of the, I would say, one of the visions we also have is to train people so that they can become more active in their local government. So again, if you want to join us.
And if you want to join us, the last thing I'm going to say is my motto, which is up on the wall in this studio, which says, if it's not fun, you're not doing it right.
Yeah, we do try to have fun most
of
the time.
We do more than try.
We do more than try. Fun. Okay, right. Okay.
Meeting at Marilyn's and having food, that's always fun.
Yes.
Yes, Marilyn Kimmerling is the person that Carrie's talking about. Marilyn would love to have been here today with us. She had another commitment. But you all know Marilyn. She does our WAB radio hour. She hosts that and does a lot of interviews for us. So we're the people behind the radio station, Pam and Louisa, Malachi, Carrie, Marilyn, Sam and Becky on their station now. And we are looking for people who want to join us in our project.
In our fun making.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for listening today. This is Radio Tacoma. We're on your dial at 101.9 FM. You can also listen to us live streaming at radiotacoma.org. And we also, as I've mentioned before, have an archive of programs, and all the locally produced programs that don't have their own website go on to our programming archive. So contact us if you're interested in sending some music or starting a show.
I would like to end this with a little bit of radio history trivia. Once we got the antenna up and connected to the transmitter, what was the first audio to be broadcast on KTAHLP 101.9 FM?
Ha, 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 ha.